We are in Satanism 101. This is Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web. Theology for the Third Millennium includes this kind of a course. Father Shefton said in the 90s in his book on, I think it's entitled, Is Satanism Real? Estimated 100,000 covens in the United States. Now, that would include all forms of Satanism and so forth. So we wouldn't say that there are 100,000 traditional Satanists or just popular Satanists and so forth. But, hey, that's a lot. And Europe would have much more. One website years ago that I looked at, one individual himself, a Satanist, was claiming worldwide 200 million individuals connected to Satanism. Now, that's possible because there was a report years ago in the CBN poll that there were close to 60 million New Agers. We may have probably 100 million in Europe as of the 70s, 80s, 90s. So Satanism is very, very popular and developing throughout Europe, Germany, Finland, Netherlands, UK, United States, Canada, so forth, too. So we see the developments everywhere. And though we've already discussed psycho-Satanism, dabbler, self-styled, popular, we're going to touch on traditional Satanists here. And if you have your notes, we have page 22 where we'll give a description of traditional Satanism. And so there's kind of arguments over, you know, which satanic group is more authentic, a theistic Satanist that literally believes in the deity or the demon or the concept of a real Satan, rather. The concept of that being Satan being a real God, small g. Now, traditional Satanism and those that I have engaged over the years, they're very, you know, I'm going to go over some of the stuff. Let me mention a few of the things, okay? And let me just say offhand, too, as you delve again into the studies, stay prayed up, realize God will protect you, that you're doing research kind of at the, you know, at the edges of the enemy camp. You've kind of crossed the lines, you're going over, like the spies of Israel in the Old Testament. You know, they went right into the camp to see, to look, like the other Israelites that were sent into the one land to come back and give a report. So you're looking into this, but again, our view of the research is evangelistic research, watchman oriented, like with Ezekiel, that we can give warning not to the just to the Christian church to say, hey man, there's thousands of Satanists out there. You know, shut your doors, lock your doors. Make sure if you see this symbol, don't let them in your church. That's ridiculous. The concept here is to learn, to understand, yes, to expose evil deeds of darkness, to say in sheer numbers alone, the idea of radical evil, the demonic realm ramping up. We haven't seen anything yet, really, when it comes to this. But we need to realize that, you know, we need to be able to share Christ. Realize in the early church, and especially in the book of Acts, when they went into Ephesus, or like, again, Peter, or Philip, rather, when he went into Samaria, remember Simon Magus. Here was a real sorcerer. This would have been, he would have been similar to a real kind of Satanist. Someone with real power, obtaining real power, influencing people with power, and kind of like the Aleister Crowley of his day in a way. He wouldn't have been an Anton LaVey. I mean, he would have been more someone who really believed in the powers. And in those powers, that literally amazed the people. That, and if that's all they have and all they see and all they witness, they're going to really be, you know, connected, associated, amazed, attracted. Until Philip went into that town, Acts chapter 8. And again, because of his obedience to Christ, being filled with the Spirit of God, the gospel, him being unashamed, because it in the gospel is the sheer power of God, the love of God, the manifestation of God's grace, power, and might. So let the power of God, you know, go forth. Don't let the New Age and Satanists, don't let anything suppress the fire of God within your soul, Christian. That fire inside is the living Christ. ignited by the Spirit of God inside of you. There is a spiritual power within you, according to the book of Ephesians, that is incomparably great for us who believe. That power within you is like the power that was exerted in raising Jesus from the dead. The Greek word dunamis, power. The power of the Holy Spirit will be expressed through your life, through your speech, through your prayers. So be unashamed of the gospel in the most beautiful way. Always share the incredible, beautiful gospel of Christ, unequaled, unparalleled. May I continue to say that through all of this training course. We're not just learning information just so we have in the back of our head or to protect ourselves. Now, we are learning to protect our kids and understanding the different, you know, here we go now with traditional Satanism. And the reality that they would involve real kinds of sacrifices. They're getting closer now to the real, you know, Satanists that would promote things like human sacrifice, the black mass, sexual, you know, rituals, and on and on and on. So you're getting closer and closer and closer to the black flame when we talk about this this style here. Let me go over a few things here. Belief in traditional Satanists, they have a belief in and they're loyal to Satan. Now, I have here, right here in front of me in my office, it's called the Devil's Bible. And I have linked to the webpage an older one-hour, you know, session I did. I mean, it's really one of the newest, one of the things we, you know, I don't know if it was about 2 years ago that we put it out, but it was one of the first things we ever put out called this, just, we called it Satan's Bible. And we touched on the Satanic Bible, but more so on Father Maradon's book, Bible, as he calls it, that also deals with the Al-Jawal. If you will, you know, if you understand what that is, which we'll, you know, mention later on also. That it involves, well, supposedly Satan dictating, speaking almost as though it's prophetically spoken through. It's almost like it's Satan's direct words. Now, on your webpage, I linked a web video that deals with the Al-Jawal. And if it's up to you whether you want to look at it at all. All it does is put up the actual statements. And kind of, it's kind of fuzzy. So as you read, you can read some of the Satan. Supposedly, Satan himself said that. Now listen, does Satan speak? You better believe so. He definitely spoke to Jesus in Matthew 4. Encountered him in language and communication. Biblically speaking, Satan speaks and communicates. He's very, you know, powerful in it. Did he speak to Eve? You better believe so. Did he speak to Jesus in Matthew 4? Absolutely. Do we find him in other places? Well, at the Lord's table, when the disciples didn't even see Satan around, Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." That means he was speaking. That means he was talking. Did Satan talk and converse with God in the sight of Job? Trying to slander Job? Even Revelation 12 tells us that he slanders the brethren. He slanders the brethren night and day. So this is he's the accuser of the brethren, and there's slander involved there. He's an adversary. And you and I've got to realize he communicates. Can he literally inspire writings the way the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God? Yeah, he can counterfeit that. Didache of demons. Satan can literally, you know, he's a spiritual being with powers. And can he come through prophecies in the satanic grottos? Yes. Can he speak through almost like channeled Satanists in meetings? Sure. Absolutely. Matter of fact, I had one underground Satanist bring me what they called a prophecy that Satan spoke through one of their people there. And it was a word. A satanic prophetic word to their group. It's pretty interesting because it kind of dealt like this. It was a word to the followers of Satan, you know, to my people, whatever else. And he kept on referring to the holy ones, referring to Christians, will soon be defeated and be destroyed, on and on and on. Kind of like, again, giving them encouragement that they're going to have their day in court and that they're going to win. And you think that he wouldn't do that? Yes, sure he would do that. And so when we think in terms of the Devil's Bible that was written by Father Merdon from the Cathedral of the Black Goat, or if you think in terms of the Al-Jawa, you would also, again, and it's supposed to be an ancient piece, whether you want to read it or not. But I would just say, you know, realize again, shields up spiritually. You're digging into the Devil's realm. And it's not that you want to listen to him. He doesn't want you to know. Don't forget the deep secrets of Satan. I mean, literally, it's all about the secret power. Satan doesn't want you to know what he's doing. The demons don't want you to know their presence, what they're doing, their plans, nothing. And biblically speaking, prophetically speaking, biblically, God has given us great insight, strategic insight to what he does. He's given us insight to his nature, to his being, to his origin, to his fall, to his agenda, to how he works, his methods, and what he's going to do in the world. And the majority of what he's going to do is just right around the corner. Well, a lot of the traditional Satanists would agree with that. And spiritually speaking, they would be the ones that believe that they're, you know, hearing from and having experiences and so forth. So if you ever engage a traditional Satanist, well, like say on this page 22 of your notes, they have a belief in and they're loyal to Satan as a real being, as a real being. They really believe in Lucifer, but he's the good guy. If you read or listen to the, I'm not saying you have to go read or whatever, the New Devil's Bible put out by the Cathedral of the Black Goat. But if you do listen to the other clip that we've done, on the Devil's Bible, I go into sharing some of the principles of their explicit hatred of God, which they refer to him as Jehovah, the mean God, and that Lucifer is really the good guy, that he was cheated, that Lucifer has the secret mystical knowledge, that he has the gnosis, that he has the, well, like the Gnostic, the knowing, he has the mystical knowledge that we need. And through that mystical, you know, secretive knowledge that we can get from him, that we can come to our true selves and literally, you know, find our identity and find what it's all about. So you're going to find that in the Devil's Bible that there's, again, massive antagonism towards Christianity, towards Christ, towards God, a hatred towards God. And the only descriptions in there is Jehovah is the mean God, restrictive God, didn't want us to have the knowledge. Lucifer did want us to have the knowledge. God tried to restrict us and keep us away from the knowledge. And he was mean in doing so because that knowledge was to lead us to deep spiritual things. Well, like the Luciferians say, it was a knowledge of the that would lead to the evolution of human consciousness, or a evolution of human transformation that would have turned us into gods. And there's a belief, at least in that book on traditional Satanism, that that's their belief system. And so there's a belief of a spiritual evolution to deification, definitely among the deep old Luciferians, but the concept here now is also found in traditional Satanism. They're very serious and devout worshipers. You better believe they're more committed to being precise, doing things thoroughly and completely. You'll find that there's warnings in the Devil's Bible that if you do give yourself to Satan, that you're warned ahead of time. There's no turning back. You can't turn back. There'd be massive, serious, horrible consequences if you ever tried. So if you're going to step into this, there is no way out. So they are serious and devout worshipers of Satan and his power and who that being is and giving respect and so forth. Now, again, Satan seeks that worship, so this plays right into Satan's hand. Under C there in the beginning, they're into the powers that can be obtained also. definitely powers are going to be involved in traditional Satanism, theistic Satanism, and they will be able to conjure and so forth. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But they're definitely into real powers. Now, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said to believers in Christ that I have given you authority to trample on the demonic realm, to overcome all the power of the enemy. The Greek word dunamis. The Bible tells us Satan has power. And Satan can do things and counterfeit miracles and all kinds of stuff. And I've heard some of the most crazy stories from underground Satanists about the powers that have shown up, powers that are conjured, how, you know, serious and strict, and you can't play games, you know, in their meetings. You're either in or out. You know, a matter of fact, one Satanist that was a little deeper than traditionalists was telling me that, hey, our people are far more committed than Christians. They said, I can go to a Christian church and there's a lot of people there not committed. But if you come to a satanic meeting and there's 13 of you, you know that every single one of there is sold out. Well, you're right in a way, because you have to be, in that you don't have an open traditional satanic meeting. You don't have a meeting where lots of non-believers can come, where there's new or younger believers, and you don't have that kind of concept. You have a different offer. God is offering his love and forgiveness, and new believers in Christ are younger and weaker spiritually, less knowledgeable, whereas older ones are stronger. And we're to become strong and devout and so forth to the Lord, Jesus. But again, not the same. Not the same in their groups. They see themselves as far superior in power, in commitment, than do they see Christians. They despise weak and anemic Christians and so forth. They're both group and individualistic in the sense that they can do their worship, they do their stuff, you know, their rituals on their own or in group format, small group format. They're male dominated primarily, not that there's not satanic priestesses, but once again, you're going to see in the Temple of Set, the Church of Satan, traditional theistic Satanist groups, there's going to be females, you know, in many different places as priestesses and so forth, but primary again. You're going to find more male-dominant, you know, dominant leadership. They're more secretive than the Church of Satan, the popular Satanist, because of what they do. They're more secretive because you can't just pop in when real satanic powers are going to be conjured and be present. So they're not, the locations of their meetings and so forth are only given to insiders. That's why it's hard to infiltrate, even for law officers to try to infiltrate. They know their group. They know who's invited. They know who can come. Yes, they're out to recruit. Don't get me wrong. They're definitely out to recruit, but they recruit by selection. And you get invited to come in. The rituals that they do will include blood. They will include blood. They will include things. If you look again, as I mentioned later in the same page, again, it's up to you whether you want to do a search on the web or not. The Order of the Nine Angels is a major group that's been revealed out there. They've even put many of the rituals, the actual rituals, online now, including the Black Mass. Now, I have the Black Mass that was supposedly done by hand-typed, hand-done, only 500 copies in the world. This is back in the early 90s. The law enforcement man, Tom Wedge, who wrote the book Satan Hunter, gave me one of the copies that he had gotten hold of, obtained. And it looks like it's been personally typed, put together in a personal way. And I've had Satanists that have known that I had it back then wanted it. And I guess the only reason for me was the research, but it spelled out the ancient traditional Black Mass that involved the sacrifice of a baby on a virgin. Well, you're going to read, if you do studies on the web, and again, whether you believe it or not, they believe that they can put, you know, these are the guys, and darker ones than these will put on their websites. They believe that, you know, they can pray over their websites or basically put demons on their websites, whatever. Again, Christian, don't be afraid of that. When I look up certain websites, I pray over things. I rebuke things or whatever else. And, you know, it's just the other way around for me. God's given us authority to trample in the demonic realm, you know, not to hide from it or be afraid. So if you're doing research or you want to see, again, from the horse's mouth, some of what the traditionals say, I put a couple of links on the webpage that's connected to this session right now, and it'll link you to the Cathedral of the Black Goat, to traditional Satanists and what they say, the Order of the Nine Angels, to the group that has put out the Devil's Bible, and even the Al Jawal, the book that was supposedly, you know, Satan dictated or spoken directly by Satan, or that Satan himself wrote, some claim that Satan actually wrote it or whatever. It's supposed to be very, very secretive. But again, now so much of it is on the web, it's incredible. And realize that the thousands of satanic groups, thousands of satanic groups that are out there, thousands, their websites get hits into the hundreds of thousands and millions, which means that a lot of people have gone and looked and whatever. There's a lot of satanic sites that recruit a lot of educational material from their perspective. And so they're recruiting, educating, and they got, I mean, interactive discussions, talks. They now have, they now even have one on Blog Talk Radio where I do live radio. They have one that's called Satanism Today, that people can listen to the live stuff and then listen to the podcast later. So you and I must realize as believers, no matter where the church is in their understanding of the development of real satanic worship, which means the unleashing of more satanic power. If there's only 12 Satanists in the world, that's one thing. But if there are 100,000, or if there are 1 million, or, as one Satanist on his website one time put out a quote of 200 million. Now, I cannot doubt that figure. I can't verify it, but it's their count. And if you look again at their websites and numbers of people that go there, thousands of websites and materials that deal with Satanism, popular, traditional, all of it. And all of it for education. And see, all those rituals that they have out there, anybody, a self-styled individual person, can pick it up and say, ooh, they can download it and print it out and say, hey, get a buddy together, drink a little beer or whatever, smoke some pot, and say, let's try this thing out. And they might do a blood ritual on an animal or whatever. They might do a certain ritual and try to conjure powers, not knowing what they're going to get into. And they're opening gateways. And again, the more gateways, the more demons. And the more demons, the more influence. And the more that concept of critical mass lends itself towards the day of the great revolt and the rise of the Antichrist and the final, you know, Luciferian age of, well, less than 7 years, but it'll be the most horrific in human history. Let me also mention that major rituals are needed and demanded ceremonies to go through. If you're going to become a traditional Satanist, if you read in the back of the Devil's Bible put out by the Cathedral of the Black Goat, you're going to read them inviting you. You can come. You can become a traditional Satanist. You can become a Satan worshiper. But if you want to get into personal relationship with Satan, in all three of the ceremonies that I read, all three of them involve shredding a Bible, you know, anything that shows a denunciation of Christianity, a renunciation, I mean, blaspheming God, blaspheming Christ, doing every possible thing you can to demonstrate visibly in a ceremony, physically in any way, that you are renouncing Christ. If you were raised in church, if you read about, I mean, you're to renounce everything, renounce your history. Now see how the laws of engagement work. The laws of engagement are true on both sides. When a person gives their heart and life to Jesus, you're literally opening up to God. You're believing in Him and you're receiving what He wants. His will is to come and dwell in you and free you from the sin nature and Satan's legalities and give you the new nature of Christ and the power of God and the gift of eternal life. And there's even in developing as a believer, there's the idea of yieldedness. Romans chapter 12. You know, it tells us to make your body, your whole life, your whole being a living sacrifice. Open up wide, yield completely, you know, no longer conform to the patterns of the world, But instead, you know, really yielding everything over to the Lord. And it says there'll be a transformation, a spiritual transformation, a renewing. The Greek word metamorphosis will occur, and you'll be able to literally perceive the will of good, the good will of God, perfect will of God, pleasing will of God. So this concept is, Psalm 81:10 says, open wide your mouth and I'll fill it. And that's the concept of God saying, open wide your heart, open wide your life, open up everything. James chapter 1 says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. So we're opening up to the Lord and he's going to, you know, work in our lives. Same thing works on the satanic side. And when I read those ceremonies, it's the same kind of thing. Or when I read off of Slayer's album, South of Heaven, one of the songs, the lyrics from Spill the Blood, again, an invitation to come unto Satan. There are satanic bands that give invitations to accept Satan. Please understand that. We'll later on deal with what's called the Lords of Chaos in a book put out, and some of the especially European bands, Pit Magazine and others, you're not going to believe. And again, we're talking into the hundreds of thousands that are finding this more traditional doorway. And it is a darker doorway, a broader doorway, a larger doorway involved in becoming a theistic or traditional Satanist. According to the devil's Bible, you have to seriously, completely burn your bridges with Jesus, with God, with the Bible, with church, with Christian friends, and whatever else. And open wide and open broadly and totally commit to Satan with the realization that once you do, you can never get out. Hotel California, man. You're not allowed out. You can read the actual material if you want to, you know, get the devil's Bible and read it yourself. But again, only because of research and only understanding what they're all into. And you're going to see, again, the concept of the law. Nobody just gets a demon automatically. Nobody can be possessed by a demon just by it jumping on you like the flu. You can't catch it from, you know, even if you touch somebody, it's demonized. You can have some attack. You can have some warfare. But anybody who's ever been demonized, possessed, or had attachments, it's all because of the laws of engagement. Somewhere they opened the door. Somewhere they were willing. Somewhere, you know, there was a hole that was opened up by their choice, their willingness, and so forth. Well, clearly, in traditional Satanism, you are led to this spiritual law of engagement. You are led to renounce the old, open up to the new, and it's the opposite and completely upside down in comparison to coming to Christ. Can you come to Satan that way? Sure. I've always said, and I've always seen this experientially, if you get a hold of the name of demons, and you call on them, and you're calling on them and beckoning them, and you're saying it long enough, strong enough, they're going to show up. They're going to show up. And I've seen it in literature. I've dealt with individuals. I had an individual that said that he wanted demons so bad. He wanted sex with a woman. And so he literally out loud was saying he would open up anything and everything. This individual was willing. And, you know, he discussed how some Satanists recruited him, how they used sex, what they did to open him up to things, and how he literally became possessed. Not only did he open doors, but then they took him further. Realize that those who are into traditional Satanism that are doing the rituals and so forth, they not only have rituals that deal with, again, themselves and so forth. This is the group that will begin to develop occult or satanic spiritual warfare. Satanic spiritual warfare against the church, against Christians. I mean, you can go through a litany of their rituals to conjure powers and send them out on curses, spells, hexes, whatever you want to call them, and send them out on and against Christians. Larry Lee years ago wrote a book that dealt with Can You Tarry, I think, 1 Hour. It was all about, you know, being with the Lord for 1 hour in prayer. But he talked about being on an airplane flight, flying in one direction, and this pastor said that he noticed a guy that he thought was praying, and he finally asked the man, "Are you praying, and what are you praying about?" And the man said, "Oh, you wouldn't understand. It's not what you think." He goes, "No, go ahead and tell me." He says, "Well, I'm a Satanist, and I'm a part of a group of Satanists in a certain region, and we've been assigned pastors to pray against." Now, that's literally in his book on prayer that he wrote many years ago, Larry Lee. You can read the whole story, but it's the exact same thing I have found in numerous individuals that we've dealt with when I've asked traditional Satanists and others, again, of other varieties of Satanism that are on par with this kind, where there's a real worship of demonic presence, real conjuring of demonic spirits by name even, a real taking in of the powers. Well, I'll mention that on the next page. But if you want to do studies on this prayerfully, strongly in the Lord, boldly in the Lord, boldly in the authority of Christ, to learn, again, spying in on the camp, going in to learn a little bit to understand them, what for? Well, to warn individuals, to warn young people, to know what's out there, to share with the church, hey, look what's happening, you know. It's not just 10 people any longer. It's 10,000, 100,000, 500,000, a million and more. And that means when there's more rituals and more stuff being done, can you now see the reason why the Word of God has shown us through biblical prophecy that in the last days, the ramping up of demonic presence. Listen, will you read Revelation 18? About Babylon, which is the kind of spiritual system that propels the political side of Antichrist, which also fuels the military side. Where does all the power flow? Through the religious side, through Babylon. It is said to be the dwelling place, where everything's the home of every demon, every unclean spirit. We're talking about the unparalleled, unequaled, unprecedented manifestation of demons ever in history, far surpassing the days of the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Ziggurats, and all the other stuff, because you're talking about such manifestation that it's felt in the air, such manifestation that individuals know that they have obtained powers to protect them, powers to give them favors, powers to have over against others, powers to unleash against Christians, powers to unleash, literally unleashing the demonic presence. They are the ones, along with the real underground Luciferians, that know how to literally create the doorways to let the powers come through, to really get a feel for this Satan speaking and leading and guiding and being their personal Lord and God. And they're going to be willing to do anything. Ultimately, they're going to be willing to do anything. So is there cult crime involved with traditional Satanism? Well, read Tom Wedge's book, who was a law enforcement agent. You can go to Tony Kale on the websites and find out. I listened to him in St. Louis, who still does do, and is law enforcement, and will show numerous slides of occult crimes. And here's where we're getting close to. And again, traditionalists won't admit to this publicly. Point three on your page 23 is dark powers flow. Now listen, I mentioned already dark powers conjured, received, sent, transferred. All of this is familiar to a real traditional Satanist. Popular Satanists may not understand this so much, but a real traditional Satanist will understand this, and the deeper, darker Luciferian will even understand it more. There are real powers. They believe in them. They can be conjured through ritual. They can be summoned. They can also be received and brought into their very bodies, and they can obtain those powers to gain authority, to gain position, to have to wield power over others. And again, as long as they're going to be willing to be friendly to those powers or open to those powers will, you know, basically give them things. Remember again, Jesus and Satan in Matthew 4, when Satan literally says, "Hey, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, for it has been given to me to," you know, he has the temporal authority, he has a temporary authority to do so. Does he have power to give? Can musicians yield their lives to Satan, sell their souls to the devil, per se, and conjure, receive satanic blessing if they'll serve him? You better believe it. You better believe there's blood oaths. Blood oaths in traditional Satanism. This kind of Satanism involves blood sacrifice and other kinds of sacrifice, and signing in your own blood, you know, oaths and so forth. It binds you to the spirits and binds the spirits to you. Truly, that's going to occur. They know how to not only conjure and receive, but they also know how to send demons. Not only out of their ritual time, ritual circle or power cones and so forth, but many of them that are high up that have obtained, maybe they have a 500 demons within. They've obtained 500 demons. Well, can they release them? Sure. On people? Yes. To influence a room, a people? We had an individual of a different sort. I mean, he would have been on par with a traditional Satanist. And he came into our church building, and he had a spirit stick. He's somebody who's deeply into conjuring, receiving. Now, he came there literally trying to release his demons into the, you know, into the sanctuary. A couple of prayer warriors went and sat behind him and prayed all over him, and he was shut down, utterly shut down. Don't forget 1 John 4:4. Greater Megdala is the one who's in you in comparison to the one who's in the world. You do realize that God, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, is bigger, Megdala, greater than even Satan himself. If you compile Satan and every demon, that every unclean spirit, and bring them all together into one person, that still doesn't equal the presence and power of the infinite Spirit of God in your life. Hallelujah. You have the Spirit of God. The reason why they keep conjuring more demons and more, because they don't have enough. The reason why demons want to bring more in, because they only have so much power. They don't have infinite power. They don't have omnipresence. They're not omnipotent. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. He is God. And he's dwelling in your temple of God. And that's why there's satanic attack against Christians. The more you know truth, the more you walk in truth, the greater you manifest, literally manifest God in power. Listen, the armor of God is all about the manifestation of the presence and power of God. Remember, go back to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. When the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, says, be, the concept is allow yourself to be totally empowered with the manifested, expressed strength of God. The manifested, demonstrated presence of God literally beaming through your life. How does that happen? Put on the full armor of God. You don't do it by speaking and, I'm putting the pieces on, Lord, here. You don't do it that way. You appropriate each area, but the way that it's literally manifesting your life is you're living in obedience. You're putting it on by living it. You not only receive the truth, you're living the truth. You not only accept the righteousness of Christ, but you're living righteously. When you're living righteously, you're a doorway wide open for God to flow through and literally manifest. That's why it says in Peter, we are shielded by God's power, emanating not only in the depths of us, but through us and out of us. Power emanates out of the Spirit-filled, obedient believer. You can see the fire shining through the Spirit-filled, obedient believer, which means that they have the armor of God on. They're accepting and living in the truth. They're accepting the righteousness of Christ and living righteously. They're accepting the gospel of peace and they're ready for ministry. Accepting the full blessing of the salvation. You're living in that full blessing of salvation. You're actively lifting up the shield of faith that can extinguish faith in every word of God. For every arrow of the enemy, there's a word of God to believe. Every arrow of the enemy represents a lie or the suggestion of a doubt. Contrary to that is the truth of God. Whenever you feel Satan's trying to pressure you with a lie or anything, just say, Lord Jesus, what's the truth? What's the truth? And then, dear Christians, stand on that truth. Believe that truth. Put that truth into practice. Not only will the God of peace be with you, Philippians 4, but you're going to have the armor of God. The armor of God is God manifesting through you in those particular areas: truth, righteousness, readiness, salvation, faith, the word of God. Be prepared to speak. You can't speak the word of God if you don't know it. Let me say it again. Let God speak to you about this subject right here, right now. You can't really quote the word of God, speak the word of God freely, unless you know it. When's the last time you've memorized a verse? If you're going to memorize, by the way, in Dynamic Discipleship off the Shatter site, we have how to memorize the Word of God and why. And I would encourage you, dear friend, not only for the blessing of knowing the Word, not only does that show that you're honoring the Word of God and that you're putting the Word of God into practice, which is nothing but a blessing. James 1 says if you put it into practice, you'll be blessed in what you do. If you hear it and walk away from it, we're just nuts as Christians if that's all we do. But if you put it into practice, it literally has a supernatural effect in your life. You can find that out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that those that believe the word of God will have in one of the Greek word work. It works in you. It means a supernatural operative power in you. In obedience to it, James 1, you'd be blessed. 1 John 2, if you're obeying the word, putting it into your life, you will overcome the evil one. You'll overcome the devil himself, and you'll become strong, spiritually strong. Wow. Christian. And that's what I think a traditional Satanist needs to see, or any person needs to see. Because they're going to have a concept of spiritual powers in them. By the way, they can also transfer demon powers in rituals and through sex rituals and so forth. So, in my view anyway, most all traditional Satanists, if they've already done rituals to get in, which means that they would have to acquire demon power within them. They're doing what the demons want. They're doing what Satan wants. And they're actively wanting a real relationship with Satan, and they want the benefits and powers and so forth. And so I'm going to say again, if any person is a real traditional Satanist in this view here, in this description, there is no question that they have demonic attachment, demonic presence, and the demons on them, over them, and maybe in them, will believe without question they have total legal rights, especially if they've signed any blood oaths, spoke them, and committed to things in those ritual, formats. Well, let me speak a little bit about, again, you can do all the studying you want, read all you want, learn about them and so forth. Ultimately, so that you can witness to them, share Christ, ultimately, so you'll know what to do and be prepared, and ultimately, so you know what's going on in the world, that you still can reach them for Christ. But again, tell your church, let people know. I'll never forget at a great training meeting we had back in the 80s when we were recruiting about 100. Well, in that meeting, over 180 people were coming to join in being soul winners to reach out to young people. And we were going over, different things, and we were going over youth Satanism, things like that. And I can remember that a pastor stood up and was just said, man, I'm so glad I did. He says, I'm so busy with things. I had no knowledge. See, people have written books that in the 90s, remember we already said in the other session, the fastest growing subgroup among white middle class kids was Satanism. Well, here's what you got to think through. If that's true by the thousands and thousands of young people that got into stuff, even dabbling, where are they now? Where are they with it now? Did they go deeper? Are they walking around with a demonic attachment? Where are they now? If the Satanic Bible outsold Christian Bibles in campus in 1969, what are we talking here now? Over 35 years ago. Well, where are those Satanic Bibles now? And what influence, and where's those who got into it? So we're talking again about knowing these things that should propel us to mission. If a ship is sinking, what are you going to do about it? You can't just go into your room and say, oh God, oh God, oh God. That would be nuts. A total, absolute, you know, I would say hypocrisy to what we are as Christians. We're to be the light of the world. And so when you think in terms of the ship is going down, you need to alarm people. You need to save as many as possible. I know the people of the world and so forth think that the world's Titanic and that nothing's going to happen and that it won't ever go down. Well, the Titanic went down. And there wasn't enough safety boats, and people died and perished. Well, it's like one book I read years ago where it says, world. I think the title was World Aflame, or The World's on Fire. There's a song that I listened to from a Christian group, The World, House is on Fire. The concept that the world is on fire, and that people are going to, literally burn and to be lost. And we have a message. Well, in the fourth point on page 23, I'm going to mention that we should how to, again, can you witness to them? Sure. Is there any that ever gotten saved? Sure. You might even find in YouTube some testimonies, or if you do a Google search of testimonies of people. I've engaged a few and written a few that I've seen. And listen to their stories and so forth. And so you may find some out there that are clearly sharing that they came out of traditional Satanism. Well, anyway, point four, reaching traditional Satanists, theistic Satanists and so forth with the gospel. Number one, be saturated with prayer. The concept again of being a warrior witness and so forth. Be saturated in prayer. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Bind and trample the dark powers, even inwardly. You don't have to say it outwardly. But if you have like a traditional Satanist at work, other places, in your family, down the street, or you meet someone somewhere, and, just rebuke the powers and command them, no matter what they say, inwardly, just in the name of Jesus, any dark powers on this person I bind, you will not have any effect against me. And ask the Lord to attack the demonic realm. If they really have demons that they have acquired and know them by name inside, they may feel that and know, and they may look at you and say, hey, what are you doing? Are you praying? The demons might tell them. The demons, they're listening. Just like you can listen to the Holy Spirit lead you, speak to you, whisper to your spirit. Dear Christian, realize the demons can whisper to theirs. The demons in them can whisper in their ear, spiritually speaking. Share Jesus no matter what. Be a warrior witness. On the one hand, you're pouring out grace and mercy. And on the other hand, you've got your guard up, your shield of faith up, and so forth. Because in sharing Christ with a traditional Satanist, you may encounter demonic manifestation. You may encounter that they're saying, they don't like this, the demons or whatever don't like this, they don't want you to say anything, and so forth. And sharing Christ with them is probably going to be inseparable from deliverance. That if they do want to accept Christ, they may, like that the guy I've told you about, may fall to the ground. The demons may literally, bind their throat or whatever. And we've had that happen in numerous exorcisms. The demon tries to make them throw up. We had one person where they ran out, and later on we found out they said the demons told us to leave. And they left. So, and I had one time I had a conversation. I was in my pastoral office years ago, and a demonized woman called. And as I said, listen, I'm going to pray for you over the phone. I was going to go make a visit, but I said, I'll pray for you over the phone. And as I just started to pray, they hung up. First, this whole litany of backward words came out. And then they hung up. They didn't want to hear the prayer. Now, I don't care where they're at. Even in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus, from miles away, knowing about a demonized child, commanded the demon to leave. At that self same hour, the demon left. I did a prayer deliverance with somebody from Bosnia, from Canada, from other places, over the phone. But again, be quick. Be quick. Be spiritually sharp. Because I like the one guy told too, I think in one of the stories, where his eyes began to roll back, he almost manifested. When we were infiltrating the Theosophical Society, our whole goal was to pray for a manifestation of the presence and power of God. We almost had it one night with this woman that almost manifested. I was like, come on, let it come, let it happen. Why? Because, I wanted the people to see, the demons, when they're hit by the authority of Christ, they're forced to be shown for what they really are. And they're ugly and mean and they'll harm human beings. And so you just got to give the orders. Luke chapter 10, remember your authority. Order them in the name of Jesus. Stop it, tell them. And inwardly in prayer, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I just command that you're not going to say a thing. You're not going to move. You're not going to go anywhere. And you will not harm. You will not do anything until you're dealt with. Things like that. You can also take that course we offer, Spiritual Warfare 101, and later on we'll have some deeper, broader, Freedom Encounters deals with a deeper and broader deliverance issue too. But with traditional Satanists, if they're really, really real and they're going to come to Jesus, there's going to be deliverance probably involved, maybe fully manifested and so forth. Point E on page 23, lead them to renounce. Here's again where they're going to shut off the doors. Renounce Satan, renounce dark powers, renounce rituals, renounce blood oaths, renounce all of it. To renounce all of it, open wide to Jesus Christ, renounce all these things. If they really want to come to Christ, then it's, you can't serve both. You can't have both. Renounce every ability, power, working, anything that they can think of, anything the Holy Spirit leads them to boldly, completely renounce and throw out and so forth. Under F, have them get rid of all demonized objects. You might, just like in the church in the book of Acts, Ephesus, when they came out and burned the scrolls and everything. These were scrolls that were the rituals that where you can conjure demons and bring them in. Why leave them out for other people to get? This is what Josiah did in 2 Kings 22:23, where he went down and literally shut down the ritual sites where the demons were conjured, literally closed the doors. So we're talking about here closing doors, demonized objects and athame and chalices and robes and swords and amulets and rings and demon empowered objects and whatever. And, if you want to take a couple, if you're in ministry, one time we had 7 tables of confiscated materials and slides and views. And there's so many things that would, been turned over to us. Some stuff we felt was so evil, so demonized, dark brown crusted blood. We burned these objects. We just got rid of these objects. And you'll find that it helps clear the air, shut the doors for a counterattack or for demons to come back to them and say, hey, we own you, you're ours. And they might have to learn. These guys, traditional Satanists coming to Christ, finding the clean power of God and the superior power of God, they're gonna understand spiritual warfare. And so teach them and get them growing quickly and how to use their authority and put on the armor of God and so forth. And they're going to understand that. And they're going to be able to, if they're really, really undergrounders, they're going to be able to tell you, hey, here's what we've been doing. Here's what churches we've been spiritually attacking. Here's what our plans are. Here's what I heard. They might give some testimonies in front of young people and others to tell how real Satan is, biblically real he is, and how to avoid and stay away and what the demonic is all up to. You might need some exit counseling to get away from a group, exit, you know, getting, you know, coming out of traditional Satanism, you know, not only getting rid of the material stuff like that, but they might know a lot of things that underground Satanists or traditional Satanists don't want them to tell. They might be warned. We've had individuals warn us. We've had individuals get warned and told that if they tell anything, they're going to be harmed. And so the concept of exit counseling is getting them out and away from the old traditional Satanists. Maybe in the place they work is where they're associated. And so there might have to be some, you know, decisions on shifting and where they're going to go, and maybe some protection. Exit counseling and protection. Now, obviously, we believe the Lord gives protection. Again, Psalm 91, that's ultimately, bottom line, that's just ultimately, they're going to have to trust, you're going to have to trust. But there's nothing wrong. Remember in the book of Acts where a group of people were going to, they made a plot to kill the Apostle Paul. And other individuals took him to the wall and lowered him out of the city in a basket, got him out of there. They got him out of there. Exit discipleship, exit, you know, counseling, protection. And it wasn't a matter of just being afraid that they, but they just needed to know, you know, they knew what they had to do at that point to keep, you know, his life and ministry going and developing. Ultimately, in the leading of a traditional Satanist to Christ, the evidence is the spirit of adoption. If they're born again of the Spirit of God and you see the sweet Spirit of Christ in them, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of the living God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set them free from the law of sin and death. The new life that has come in, the Spirit of God will lead them to renounce the sexual sins, other things that they've done. See, they might tell you stories of where there's bones or where there's animals they've done and criminal things. This may occur, and they may be able to show sites where, you know, and if they're in a deep enough, dark enough traditional group, or even darker, to where they know where children or others are being harmed, you may have to not only, you know, really wield the powers of prayer against all that and exposure and so forth, but involve trusted law enforcement in dealing with this too. Well, this is the end of the one on traditional Satanism session 9. And I want to encourage you again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Before all of Rome, the emperor worship, the demon worship, Bacchus and the blood cults and all of it, before this massive, powerful Rome, Paul, by the Spirit of God, could say, I'm not ashamed. No reason to be ashamed of the most powerful, incredible person who's ever lived. Sinless Christ, born of a virgin, prophesied 1,000 years before he came that his body would not see decay, Psalm 16. Look at the life he lived. Look at the death he died. Look at the resurrection, and look what he offers. Can't say this in traditional Satanism. Even if you're discussing things with them, they cannot say the same things. Yes, they may have a, you know, vengeance within them and so forth, and they're doing things for gratification and powers, and they're under the guns. And there's some traditional Satanists or people that got that far in that were afraid to get out. Were afraid to get out. Nevertheless, in the book of Jude, it tells us towards the end to snatch some from the fire. Snatch some from the fire. Christian, team up with other Christians. Go after the New Agers. Go after young kids on the street, whatever. But if you know of traditional Satanists and you want to begin to, you know, you want to begin to reach them, saturate them with prayer. Ask God to begin to visit them. Look for ways of, you know, beginning to talk to them. Ask them about their beliefs. Say, hey, I want to know what you do. I want to, you know, tell me what you know, tell me what you can tell me. If there's secrets, okay, tell me what you can tell me. Why are you in it? What does it do for you? And in that context, you know, share Jesus. I would rather get rejected. I would rather get cussed out than to let, than simply to let a person, you know, go straight, you know, just to burn in hell because nobody said anything or nobody stood in the gap, you know. And God's using you as that vessel of grace, but realize you're going to have to bear the authority of Jesus too. So as you're loving the person, don't be afraid to unleash the authority of Christ. Don't be afraid to unleash heaven, Jesus, on the demons. They don't like you coming around. They might try to warn a person to keep you from coming around. You know what? Pray against those demons. Bind those demons. Command those demons to shut up. Command those demons to get out. Some traditional Satanists and those that have been involved, when they realize when the demons are manifested and the authority of Christ kicks them out, that power encounter shows them the difference. In one case, in the book of Acts, if you remember Bar-Jesus, the Jewish sorcerer, the Jewish sorcerer was standing there, and Paul, finally led by the Spirit of God, said, "You always try to pervert the right ways of the Lord." The hand of God came against him, and he went blind in front of everybody. A power encounter occurred. This Jewish sorcerer, this demon or Satan-worshipping sorcerer that was right there in the government, was encountered in front of everybody. And the hand of God, a mist went over his face, and he went blind. What did that do? It showed the power of God was immensely greater than the powers of darkness, number one. Number two, everybody in the room saw. There is an evidence of the power of God and an open door to preach the gospel. And so don't be afraid, again, to unleash the gospel. Hey, may the Lord Jesus Christ give you great strength, great encouragement. May you just be filled with the presence and power of the Spirit of God. May the love of Christ compel you to go to the lost. May God enable you to witness to someone today and lead someone to Christ. Maybe a family member. Maybe someone else. Father, I just pray for everyone, researcher and student listening, and by the providence of God, however they've gotten this, may Lord Jesus minister their needs. I just pray Acts 9:22 over them right now, that they would grow more and more powerful. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. This is Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web, PreemptionBroadcast.com. Also, listen Sunday nights, Blog Talk Radio. Go to our main webpage, ShadowTheDarkness.net. You can click on that on Sunday nights, 11 o'clock p.m., Eastern Standard Time. We're live for 2 hours. Someday, by God's grace, hope that opens up to 7 days a week, man. I want to get out there and speak to, and you know, I love speaking to thousands of folks, and we just want to reach more, especially Europe. Europe's a big target for us. So, hey, pray for me. I'm going to ask you, pray for me. Keep me in your prayers. And may the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, my Savior, dear brother, sister, bless you. Keep you, make his face truly to shine upon you today.